Okay, we tried something to give you a better experience on Zoom, but so far it's failed. But we still think the experience is excellent, even without it. Okay. So we're officially welcoming Natan back. But you still have a heter for the rest of Shiva Smei Mishnah if you want to use it, just to be clear. Okay. So we're in the middle of discussing heter. What's that?
That was me. I was saying something privately.
Okay. Okay, so let's begin. Looks like Avram's ready?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. So let's discuss heter for a couple more minutes, and then finish up again. It's taking a little longer. But since one of the things I'm trying to do is not only cover the range of issues which is included in this discussion, Ladoros, about so many different aspects of our topic, but also to try to just underscore, right, some of the shifts that took place. In other words, how even a critique that is responded to ends up, of course, including, aspect. That's part of, again, the evolution of the advancement of the and the refinement of the ideas on the topic. And you can see it, of course, in many, many different sugyas. This happens to be just a very good one because it's such a massive topic and it's so crucial and core to the major principles of Chametz, because it's about Bidika and Bitol and Biur and Hefker and Ba'ira and all these things. So this happens just to be a good example of that. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the Hefker part. I want to finish with that first. The last thing that we discussed, again, we began with the Tosas, and from there, Bali Tosas already were aware that this is not, such a simple sell, that the idea that Bitol is Hefker, is going to be problematic, both linguistically, structurally, and especially substantively. And that's why they themselves bring up the question of Shlosha, as well as other things. For the Ramban, Udi'ime, these were fatal flaws, not just, questions, and therefore he rejected it. Agav, as we discussed, he raises the question, that have to do with the parameters of Ba'ira Ba'imotze, the goalposts, as I mentioned the other day. Meaning, what does it take to violate Ba'ira? Maybe even if Hefker, even if this Hefker is Hakna Gemur, even if you're dealing with a classic Hefker, maybe that wouldn't be enough to neutralize the problem of Ba'ira Ba'imotze. That, of course, is a critical view, perspective that we need to follow through. We encountered it already in the Sokar Maskir Sugya, and we have to finish up with that in terms of other examples of this, which we will mirtz Hashem when we get to, Hayim Beis Vavu and Aleph, the various iterations of Ba'ira, but that's a critical part of Ramban. The Meiri responds on that, but the Ramban also raises the question of Hefker itself. I mean, what is the nature of Hefker, such that it should be effective, or not here? And that certainly, again, it's very difficult to pin down precisely what he has in mind, but clearly, when he discusses these issues, he's talking about some interface between siluk, hakna meirishus atzmo, but also even after that, hakna to, again, rishus hefker, hakna to whoever ends up picking it up. What exactly is that all about? And certainly the Meiri, in his response regarding Shabbos, and certainly regarding Ba'ira Ba'imotze, is responding also on the Hefker level. This, and in fact, as we've been trying to show, kind of motivates the Meiri, to come up with a bigger solution to the problem. Again, he's, the way he formulates it is, he's dealing with, eight or nine questions. He's taking them on one at a time. But you can see through the progression in the essay that, in the presentation, that he's building a stronger case as he goes through for what he calls his Ke'ein Hefker. And the Ke'ein Hefker, again, is a double chiddush. Of course, the bigger issue for us in this context is, that the Cain Hefka relaxes some of the typical standards and therefore allows for an effective neutralization of Bayur Bayimotze. That goes without saying. But Agav, it does seem to reflect and reveal, and here's the question in the Meiri that I raised and that Ezra, you know, kind of pushed me on a little bit more even afterwards, and that is the question of how unusual is this Kain Hefker. Like, this Kain Hefker, you know, only effective, only significant, you know, in this context, or is this Kain Hefker something that exists in every Hefker, although it may not be sufficient in every Hefker to accomplish, you know, the goal. But if this is a component or an aspect within Hefker, then there may be other echoes. And either way, it's a helpful way, objectively, at looking at bialus and ownership. So what I mean by that is, and again, the question within the Meiri is, since at the very, very end of the piece, he too invokes Rabbi Shmuel, albeit in a slightly different way, but he invokes Rabbi Shmuel nonetheless, the fact is that you could say that, you know, he's been anticipating or foreshadowing, you know, that all the way through. And that when he is describing, let's say, a insufficient, you know, but effective here, Hefker, you know, it's always going to be with that in mind. Namely that the criterion here doesn't have to match, you know, Bal Yira as like a rigorous, bilus question, or a rigorous, more rigorous question, because it also is able to invoke, again, the Rabbi Shmuel part as kind of a kula, you know, to begin with. But my own, again, this is just a question of interpretation and instinct. My own view is that since he only brings in that at the very, very end, of like the eighth or ninth issue, is that he, as a standalone, already thinks the things that he says about Hefker, even an insufficient or incomplete Hefker, are true. Therefore, this Kain Hefker, which is kind of like Yiyush, where the fact, you know, that there is no Mekabel, you know, is a factor, and so on and so forth. All these elements, the fact that it's a kind of Drisas Afar type of Hefker, all these things, in my opinion, for the Meiri, may not be enough for other areas of Halacha to be standalone effective, but they are a correct, you know, chalos within Hefker itself. Just give me one second, because I just want to make sure there's no emergency here. Just give me one second. So my view is that the Meiri later on adds the Rabbi Shmuel issue, but that the things that he said stand alone. And what those things are seem to be a kind of a appreciation that within every Hefker there is an element of Siluk, but not the typical like Siluk versus Hefker alone, but kind of a negation, even before you get to full Hefker. For full Hefker, maybe you need these other things, whether it's, you know, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, or Gimel, or Lashon Hefker, or Dibur as opposed to Belay, all the things that we're missing in this particular case. But that even absent that, something has already happened. He's already tamped down or negated what I'm calling his pragmatic bilus. And the fact that there is a chalos like that, where you are the formal owner, but you already kind of have, you know, forsaken or forfeited, you know, some aspects of your pragmatic Bibles which affect certain things is significant. And that's why, again, the citation of Yeush and the Kain, and again, the whole description, I think something that stands on its own. So that becomes a very important formulation, and that's how I view the meaning. Now, the Tano also made the Ha'ara to me, which I think is a good Ha'ara, and that is that the Me'iri is not all kulos, if you want to say it that way. Meaning, the Me'iri is mostly trying to explain, and unapologetically, given his formulation, right, why the typical more rigorous requirements for a fully effective hefker do not apply here, or are not imposed here. But there is one line in the Me'iri in which he also notes that this particular hefker, right, does not require, one second, I'm still plugged in. This particular hefker does not require, you know, the ability of others to pick up and to be zoche and chayfetz, since nobody's doing that here, because it's chametz bePesach. And I think he's correct. That is a situation which is not a, I'm just using the phrase kul and kumra. That's not a situation where you don't, you know, this is a weak, an acknowledged weaker, let's say, hefker, you know, but, you know, it's enough for what we need in Bal Yirah, whether it's only after we introduce Rabbi Shmuel or what I'm suggesting, which is mostly even before that point. Here, the Meir is introducing an element which we find much more fully expressed, and we'll get to in a couple of minutes, in the Maram Chalava, and that is a different way to neutralize, right, these problems. And that is to say, in a Hanami, right, the hefker here is less rigorous, doesn't have all the, you know, bells and whistles and, you know, that are necessary in many contexts when you compare it to what's here. However, you know, at the same time, you know, they're, again, mostly what the Miri is saying is, but you don't need that because there's a chalos even with less, and that chalos is good enough for Bal Yirah. But he's also saying that there is an element here which is unnecessary, right? And therefore, even objectively, right, this hefker, in a way, is superior because it doesn't need to address and to overcome, or at least to enable, you know, certain things that it typically does. That part is not, you know, just a kula, we'll call it. You're not saying it's a stronger hefker, but he's saying it's a hefker, right, which by definition doesn't need to accomplish, you know, not just for chametz purposes, but incidentally, you know, what hefker typically requires. So I think that's a good ha'ara. I also think that the Me'iri presentation makes it bottle, baro. Meaning, the bigger idea is that even less than a full hefker is already of some sort of a chalos. And this, you know, is mostly reflected in the concessions that apply here, but are still sufficient for neutralizing Bal Yirah. With that one exception, but I think that one exception too kind of fits in to the Me'iri's bigger point, which is, if the hefker was a transfer and that's what you needed here, you know, that would be one thing. But we don't need that at all because we're not even concerned about that word. We're talking about a hefker shel drisas afar. And a hefker of drisas afar focuses on the relationship between the chepetz and the owner, and it is part attitudinal, and therefore, you know, that's another reason why the concern for what this, you know, making this open, you know, season, you know, for others, that's just not a factor in this particular case of hefker. So again, I think it's a good point, but I think that is the idea. In the end of the day, I also think what's fascinating here, in this afar part, I'll get back to it, is that this too is an adjustment from the Ramban, right, to the Me'iri. Because the Ramban, is the one who understands Toras Afar, right, in a slightly different way here than other Rishonim. We'll get even to the Rambam and the Ramban. Earliest the Rambam and then the Ramban. The Afar role here, I think, is an interesting wrinkle in the different Rishonim. If you look at, again, for Rashi, you know, the Afar part is pretty much, you know, not emphasized. For the Ramban, it is. For the Ran, again, not. For the Meiri, it is. Certainly for the Rambam, the Michtam, and others, it is. But the role of Afar in this context is totally new, in a nuanced way. I wouldn't say totally because I'm saying nuanced. In a nuanced way, quite different for each. And I will read inside the Ramban just to get back to that part in a minute. For the Ramban, again, it's the way that you relate to the Chepetz, and that directly impacts this question of Bayira. For the Meiri, the Afar becomes a shear in the type of Hefker it is. In other words, you're treating this, you know, you're treating this chepetz like afar, meaning as a davar she'ein lo shovi, and as such, that is already a kind of siluk bailus on the, you know, pragmatic side of your bailus, in a yish kind of a way. I mean, you're not, you may be the titular owner, but you're not looking if this is something that you're going to do anything with, right? You don't care about it. You perceive it as afar. But as for the Ramban, this has nothing to do with bailus and hefker. It has to do with, you know, the requirements of Bayura. We'll see soon. Rotsa b'kiyumeinu, rotsa b'kiyumo, directly. For the Meiri, he keeps repeating midras afar, toras afar. It's a din in the cheftza, the way you look at the cheftza, as a shiur in this, you know, kind of component of Hefker itself. And that too is a great example of, you know, if the Ramban didn't say what he said, I'm not sure the Meiri could have reformulated Hefker the way that he did. Okay. In Meiri also is of the opinion that very possibly, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so that's in terms of that part. Now, the contrast to the Ran and to the Maram Chalava is important. So for the Ran, who also holds, you know, of a rehabilitation of the Bali Tosis Hefker, you don't get the impression that, you know, it's, you know, per se, the inadequate or the, you know, the three-quarters, you know, Hefker is enough for Bayura because of Bayura, but because of what that three-quarters Hefker, you know, Chalos, does in its own. In other words, the Chalal, 100% Hefker, right, there's a three-quarters Hefker, where already a Hefker shell Drisas Afar, a Hefker shell Yeush, or Siluk, or whatever it is, and that's good enough here. For the Ram, it doesn't sound that way at all. It sounds like the Ran is basically starting off, or you tell me, it sounds like the Ran, Yonatan, how would you say it? Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Read it inside. I mean, like the Meiri, the Ran is reformulating, you know, the position of the Bali Tosis in light of the critique of the Rambam. But in contrast to the Meiri, what is the Ram doing? Go ahead. Kavod shayni lefi she'ein abrishus hashal adam. Yeah. So what does he end up saying? He's not telling us any insight about Hefker. He's not saying three quarters of Hefker is good enough here. What's he saying in the end?
He's saying that normally your analogy would be zero.
Normally this hefker would be, let's say, zero. I'm not saying he holds that way, but for the, at least for what he's presenting here, an inadequate hefker would be zero. But because of the Rabbi Shmuel factor, which he also got from the Ramban, by the way, right? But I think he's using, obviously he's using for a different goal, and I think in a very subtle way, in a slightly different way. I'll explain that in a minute. Because of Rabbi Shmuel, the pretension, you could say, or the projection, you know, of hefker, even when it's inadequate, is enough. In the end of the day, is the Ran really justifying hefker? See, the Meiri is justifying a form of hefker here. Is the Ran? What do you think he's really doing?
I think they're just saying that. He's saying that you can apply the point to do based off the line as opposed to.
The goalposts have moved so much, you know, but it's not even then that. Therefore, a lesser hefker will do it. It's basically Bayirabai Matzeh is hanging by, like I said the first time when we learned it on the Mishnah. Bayirabai Matzeh is hanging by a thread, right? And all you really need to do, right, is kind of go along with what would have been the original, you know, Din Torah if the Torah hadn't intervened, you know, and raised the stakes. You need to neutralize the raising of the stakes and get back to the mi'ikra d'dina. And you can do that not with a lesser hefker, but with the intention of hefker. Even though there's no real chalos hefker here. Correct? I think it's for that reason also why the Ran, right, maintains, like the Ramban, even though he doesn't seem to have the, you know, justification of the Ramban, that Tashvisu is not without a makar, like it is for Bali Tosis. For Bali Tosis, it's real hefker, it's full hefker, correct? And therefore, in the end of the day, there's, you know, whether there probably is no Kiyum Tashvisu, or if there is, at least it's not based on Tosna, it's Lamaisa, there's no Mechayev of Bali Yerod. But for the Ran, like the Ramban, here the Ran is working off the Ramban. Either they're accepting Rashi's view that Tashvisu includes Tevatlum, or they're working with the Medrash Halacha that it's Lecha Belo Shel Bitol or whatever it is. Well, what do you need that for? Right? But for the Ran, in the end of the day, it isn't really Hefker. And it's not like the Chiras Chafetz. It's if you try to do hefker, and you invoke hefker, even though it's not a hefker that works, what you're doing is, right, you're cutting the hanging of the thread, you know, which is the basis for Vayirabai Matzah. That's still a formal din, correct? So that's why I say the Ran's solution and the Meiri's solution are quite different from each other. On the other hand, the Ran's solution, as we'll see in a moment, is more reliant upon the Ramban. And in one respect, I think it even escalates what the Ramban says. Okay, but I'll get back to that in just a second. Before we do that, let's finish off with Hefker. What about the Maram Chalav? Simcha? So what about the Maram Chalav's? He too, that's a third example of trying to rehabilitate. Before I mention that, Josh mentioned to me that you have the language that the Talmud of Enitam quoted in the Torah Sarishonim, right? One of the Talmud of Enitam also quotes Tashbisu as the makor. You have it there? Oh, do you have it? Who has it? Yeah, go ahead, Zach. Yeah. Also quotes Tashbisu, even though it's Hefker.
Yeah. Schuster. That would be the happy Zarek Schuster, the thought, talk about crowd, with the same Tashbisu, diamonds are pure to battle, it's not even happening.
So he's quoting Tashbisu to relax some of the, it's like Xeris HaKasu, that the hefter here works when it typically wouldn't work, right? But it's a key. So that's a very interesting, already in the Bali Tosis, but it's not based on Rabbi Shimon. Correct? That's also an interesting idea. Okay, let's talk about Ram Chalava for a moment. What do I ask? Simcha? What's, how does the Ram Chalava deal with all this? Here on Dabav?
On Dabav, he, well, he spent half of the
He what? It's more obvious why.
Usually, I need all the rules for Hefker because I need to prove that I really want to mount something.
Oh. So, what do you think about that? Yeah, exactly. Again, and this is a great example because, you know, the sukkahs of Hefker are not mostly here, but, you know, Hefker in Chametz is obviously, and fitting it in. You know, and if you're, you know, a Bali Tosis person, is going to push you to reevaluate, you know, to look at things in a certain way. So it's not so obvious that, what are we talking about, Simcha? Which things? Requirement of?
Like, three people.
Shlosha.
Staying out loud.
Not belave, but bepeh.
Can't do it on
Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even. Right? Why does Rabbi Yosef really typically require that, you know, ad shiyavo liyado shalachem? Right? So the Chiddush of Ram Chalava, we're just going to cut through it quickly, but you could read that line at least, is that all of these dinim, which you could have explained, you know, are about other things. He's saying all of them, including the Rabbi Yosef Aglili, are all connected to neutralizing, you know, the possibility that you're going to be chozer min hefker. If we could get over the hump, you know, of you might not be serious, or you might, you know, try to retract, these are all mechanisms that are a result of, right, or intended to protect against. If you do pifnei shlosha, you objectify it, you also are mefarsem it, you know, then implicitly, that you can't go back. You know, as opposed to be beino bein atzmacha. And if you do it, you know, not belave, but you're required to do it bepeh, you know, even Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Rabbi Yosef goes further, in other words. Rabbi Yosef says, until somebody else picks it up, you can still be chozer on the hefker. And therefore, it's not hefker at all, presumably. Right? Or, at least it's not hefker that's good enough to accomplish. There's an interesting discussion in the Yerushalmi whether or not the Hesker or Hefker of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in other words, whether there's a Ptur Maisros in Hefker, Kodem, the other person picks it up. So that's an interesting question. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, many years ago, wrote a piece on Hefker in Trumas and Maisros and Chala. And through this, Rav wrote something on this as well. Also, you know, years before that, in one of the Pardeses, and it was then subsequently collected in Kovetz Kiddushei Torah. So the big question is whether Hefker, and I kind of alluded to this, we talked about Bailus Akum, Bailus Hekdesh, Bailus, you know, Hefker. Hefker, again, is simply the, you know, absence of ownership or the possibility that other people, you know, have the ability to become owners, or this is also something called chefsa shel hefker, you know, just having the name or the stamp or the imprimatur of hefker, maybe for certain dinim, that's what's koveya. So, for example, regarding maestros, trumas maestros, maybe that's the difference between Lichtenstein's piece was trying to explain. Maybe there's a difference between trumas and maestros and chala and peya. Things of that sort. So where all we care about is the shame, hefker, you know, then it's very possible, even Rav Yossi Aglili will agree, you know, that once you're mafker, even before somebody picks it up, has a shame hefker. Just the dinim that have to do with hafkah mirushuso, you know, or things of that, maybe that Rabbi Yosef lose mind. Anyways, that's an important perspective. But the Maram Chalava here is basically saying, even Rabbi Yosef Aglili, right, Louis of Suyar, you didn't have to worry, you know, that there was going to be a chazara, you know, then you could accomplish hefker much more easily. So then, that's assumption number one. And that all these dinim, the shlosha, like what's a problem on Shabbos? Right? The problem on Shabbos is, you know, the hakna gemura, the fact that you're, you know, iyaf shalachsavo, you know, that it's built into the thing. Yeah, do you have a line where he says all this? Yeah, the paragraph. Where is it? One second. It's on page. It's on Bamudais, right? From Bamba Bays. Where's the key? Where's the main part?
I
think so. One second. Bamai, yeah. Bamai Damakshu? On the top of the page, at least in mine, I think, are they all the same? Right, Chav Gimel, like Omud Beis, or the second column of Chav Gimel on the top, Bamai Damakshu, yeah.
Bamai Damakshu,
yeah.
Bamai Damakshu, Bamai Damakshu, is like, the Lashon Hefer, the Dabra, the Lashon Hefer, the Lashon Hefer, the Dabra said, on the Yish Hefer, the Lashon 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 Hefer.
That's the kind of what the Biri also said in Magen Avos. That's the one that Tana was picking up on. Right? Comments is also the call. That changes the equation already. But then he goes, would be Tamzeh Gav came. Oh. And then he goes on and says the same thing. Yeah, you don't read Tol Yerushalmi. That's his Pshat Yerushalmi. Right? The Mashmud Rabbi Yossi, Afim Chametz Noi Barizkia. The whole question of Harama from Aram Chalava is that if you pick it up later, then Igloi Milsa, that it was the shame Zechia or Chazara, you know, La'atzma. Right? And then he goes, and then on page 2, on the next page, page Kavdalin, he says, either Kushit Bein and Hefker B'Pnei Shlosha, right? He says, Ikim Angamar D'Bidi Yisur Elom B'Ay Shlosh, V'Chalik Tim Mamu Nisur. But then he goes down the page, he says, he doesn't like that. Elatam Ahocha, you have that? Don't lay space, Zocher. Yes. Ukadam Rinan. Behind your name, Itam Adesagi Balev. The Shari Afilu B'Shabbos. Right? So basically, the Maram Chalava was motivated here, just because of this whole issue, to re-examine all these requirements, you know, and to, you know, attribute them to the question of Chazara La'atzmo and you know, the conditions of Zechia Lachim. But anything that has to do simply with Siluk, or where there's no Chashash of Chazor Le'atzmo, or of requirements of Zechia Lachim, then Hefka will work. Hefka Gomor will work. Now, the Maram Chalava is different than the Meiri, who is like, you know, an 80%er. Different than the Ran, who's saying it isn't really, it's the simulation, or the close, we'll call it, the approximate simulation, which really, really is simply koveya, you know, that, you know, lo nichale, that the Torah should put in Rishuso, right? But there's no chiddush on how hefker generally works in the Ran. There's a huge chiddush in, you know, 80% hefker, in, you know, and the workings of Hefker and the Meiri, And there's a huge Kiddush from Ram Kalava. But for Ram Kalava, this isn't an 80% hefker, which works because the requirements of Bal Yiroah are different, objectively or because of Rabbi Yishmael. It's 100% hefker, just that there are certain dine hefker, right, that are typically required because in typical cases, right, you always have to consider, right, himself, the siluk part and the skia part. And here, where objectively, the issue is about hefker without zechia, it's all just about siluk, right? So here, it works 100% as it should. That's Maron Kalam. Okay? So that's also a very, very important perspective in all of this. Okay, so in addition to that, I just wanted to mention the ksos, because that fits in very nicely as well. So, Zach, you saw the ksos?
Yeah.
Reishayim Gimel Aleph. And again, there's so many other bakoros that are relevant to this, but we're not learning Dinei Hefker in a bigger, broader way right now. So, what is the ksos dealing with? It's Shita Saran. The background is Shita Saran, famous Shita Saran. Before we get to Zach and the Xos, so Yitzi, Kopsik, what's Shita Sarambam about Hefker? That the Xos speaks about?
I am not sure.
You didn't get a chance? Did you see the Xos? Or you didn't get a chance?
I started it a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Hefker's Kenenda, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a famous Rambam in Perek Beis of Usnadarim. Where the Rambam says that Hefker isn't Keneder, but it's kind of Keneder. Anybody, do you have a language? You haven't have a language? What is it, Perek Beis, Halacha, Yud Dalek?
I have the Ksos in front of me.
We'll get to Ksos in a second. The Ksos doesn't do justice to the language of the Rambam. He just assumes, the equation part. But I just want to get that on the record. Binyamin, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. So actually the Rambam starts off by saying that Hefker is not Neder, but it has in common with Neder that you're not allowed to be chosen. The Beis Yosef, it really isn't the Ksos's fault, the Beis Yosef, when he, first of all, it's a strange Rambam, objectively. Right, just what does that even mean? First of all, when you say something is not something and then you say, but it's like something, that's always challenging. That's always a kind of a subtle formulation. We live for that, right? That's what we do for a living. We try to figure those things out. This is no exception. But that doesn't mean it isn't challenging. So, and that doesn't mean that, it's not... If this didn't trigger, very different, responses or interpretations, we would be shocked. The Rambam says something is not something, but it's like something. You're asking for discussion. Anyways, I prefer to think more that the Rambam, was trying to say it's not, but it has this element, this component. The way I understand the Rambam a little bit is that like a neder, the Rambam thinks that there's a chalos, again, similar to what I said before, there's a status of hefker. When you pronounce something hefker, like in the case of a neder as opposed to a shvuah, and we know shvuah is an iser gavra, a neder, you impose like a certain status on the chafetza. I think the Rambam is saying that, in addition to the bailus aspects of hefker, I was very influenced by the Rav and Rav Lichtenstein's discussion about hefker, but I think maybe what he means is this idea, but of course with a consequence, and that is that has impact also on the ability to be chozer. Now, at the end of the day, can you be chozer from hefker? Can you be zoche from hefker? Of course you could, according to the Rambam. But clearly what the Rambam is trying to say is that, when you call something hefker, and then you pick it up again, you're being zoche in hefker. But you can't, undo the hefker. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're like a third party. Maybe your past history with the object, the fact that you made it Hefker, the fact that it wasn't Yotzim Rishus Kalagamri until somebody else picks it up, even if you hold that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, or even if you want to say, so you're giving this object to whoever picks it up. But still maybe there's a difference between giving yourself something and giving someone else something. Now, it's even in the best scenario. I'm saying this in different ways. Meaning, when the Rambam says, what he means, of course, is that when you're Zocham in a Hefker, that's Zocham in a Hefker. It's not undoing the Hefker. Well, what I'm adding is, that doesn't necessarily, B'Pashtus, that would mean he's a third party. And I'm saying, I don't necessarily think it has to mean that. Right? Either because of the siluk aspects, or because, even as I'm saying, even in Kidman, if you're the Machna and the Kona, that's still different, or your pastus, whatever it is. Either way. But is the Rambam saying that, you know, you haven't done anything, or even Al-Pidin, that the only reason that you can't be Chozer from Hefker, you know, is because of Neder? You know, that otherwise, I mean, Hefker really doesn't do anything, or doesn't do anything sufficiently, but you're kind of committed, you know, to the position of not retracting it? I wouldn't read the Rambam that way. Well, obviously, I already told you how I read. I mean, I'm starting off with Hefker is not Neder, you know, but like Neder, as I say, Legabe Chazara, it's a chalos. You can't just undo it. And maybe more than that even. But the way the Beis Yosef read it, Zach, you have the line, just you can read through the for a moment. Beis Yosef kind of emphasized, instead of part one, which is Hefker is not like a Neder, he emphasized part two. Right? Let's start the way the Xos quotes. Go ahead. Yeah, did the Rambam say that? The Rambam never said that the only reason you can't be chozer from him, you know, nothing has happened and otherwise you could be chozer, but it's like an implicit neder, and therefore it's lo yachad. I mean, you could read it that way, 100%. If that's the way the Beis Yosef read it, then, you know, obviously that's a very respectable way to read it. But I'm just pointing out that goes well beyond the words of the Rambam. Frankly, even if you want to emphasize the second point and not the first point, to go so extreme and to say that it's just a din of layachel, you know, that's an additional chiddush. Okay. Because of that, the Xos buys into it, right? You know, whether he buys, he probably thinks that's what the Rambam holds, because that's what Beis Yosef says. So then he has a fascinating suffix, Zach, namely?
Yeah,
I should read it. Yeah, just that's those two lines. So this is even more extreme. The Beis Yosef was extreme in reading the Rambam. A, that he meant it literally. And not only did he mean it literally, but you know, actually tangibly literally. Maybe that lo yachel is the only reason you can't be kosher. Right? So then Ixo says, but if that's the case, then basically the implication is that from a dinei mamonis point of view, as opposed to a hilchos nedarim point of view, nothing has happened, right? And if nothing has happened, and the only thing standing between, you know, chazara, you know, in this case, is the neder, so then yorshim, who are not bound by father's neder, right, but who are the dine mamonis new bailim of the chepetz, you know, should be in play. One could have said, even, you know, if you want to take all of this, that in terms of, you know, Chazor le'atzmo, you know, maybe that's a possibility, if not for Layaka. Okay, you know, again, I'm not convinced that that's around in the meant at all. But let's assume for the moment. But just because Chazor le'atzmo, you know, undoing doesn't require Layaka, doesn't mean that there's no siluk in Atayim. Right? It's hard to say that there's kinyan, you know, la'acher. If there's kinyan la'acher, then, you know, you can't be chozer. Although you can be rizoka, right? Midahefka. Okay? But just because you can't be chozer, or I'm saying just because in principle you could be chozer, doesn't mean that nothing has happened in the Abominus. Right, especially in light of everything that we've said. You could say that you know, till now it's siluk, and you can undo siluk. All you can say is that there's no hakna gemur. There's no hakna l'rishutz hefka. And there's no hakna, you know, l'mi, or there's no hakna l'mi shesof sof, you know, yikach hasachefetz. Okay. Let's fill in the blank. And therefore you could be chozer, if not for neder. As opposed to saying, by definition, it's a haknah. At least merishuso, if not, you know, la'achet. But in between that is siluk. It's siluk, but maybe you can undo siluk. But that's what nafka means is if the person dies, it's still not, you know, still not legamri merishuso. It's not only the darim that stands between the yorshim and the retrieval of chepetz. Okay? So I find that also very extreme. Okay. So then he goes on to say, however, amnam. Again, my objection would be the same. But again, Tosis is taking a very extreme view here. Tosis, if you take literally that the only problem is the problem of Nader, but on a Dine Mamnesam, nothing has happened. There's been no Hakna Lacherim. There's been no Hakna Lemshus. There's been no, you know, Hotza Mir Shuso. There hasn't even been a Siluk. So then why Lagabe Shvisas Kalim, right, which seems to be a formal Bailus question, right? Why would Hefker be effective? That's a question. Right? Then he says, unless you hold that the Hefker there is Hefker Bezen Hefker. Go ahead. Like the Rajba. Masnalayim. That's also interesting. Meaning, is there really a difference between Hefker Bezdin or Le Bezdin Masna Leim and a regular Hefker? Right? The truth is that you know, you might think they're the same, and you might think they're different. But if you think they're different, they also might be different in the opposite direction. Meaning here, Lixos is saying that even if your own personal Hefker is really, you know, hanging by Nadarim, you know, but the Hefker of Bezdin, their ability to confiscate from you, right, that's a real Hakna. The truth is that there's a major debate about Hefker Bezdin Hefker, you know, whether it can accomplish Hakna or only Hafka. As it can take it away from you, or it can also bring it to Rishus Bezdin or to whoever. The Rajba himself, actually, in I believe in Gittin, it's either Gittin or Yavamas, the two sugyas, you know, the Gemara quotes two psukim for Hefker Bezdin Hefker. You know, Eila Nachos Asher Nichalu, and the Kol Asher lo yavo gimel yamim yacharam kol rechusho. What is the sugya in Gittin? You know, lamed gimel, I think. And the other one is sugya in Yevamos, and like Daf Tzadi. So the Rashba, in one of the places, I'm just trying to remember which one, in one of the places the Rashba says, oh, maybe the nafkamina between the two psukim is whether or not hefker, bezin hefker, you know, is only mafkir and mafkia, or it also can accomplish kinyan. That's an interesting question. Ksos and the Siva seem to argue about that issue in a bunch of places. But okay, either way, let's continue. And then he has another problem with tzitzis. Yeah, we're also, sounds like there's a loss of bailus after hefker, and then there's no bezdin. So here, yeah, go ahead. Imke mashma de l'gam riyotza mershuso. Go ahead. Dimi tam neder. Akati shalohu el shasar lachzer beit. So here is where he comes up with a very important idea, in general, a very ksos consistent idea, but also an idea which should ring familiar and is relevant to our discussion, which is, Zach? Let's be stuck. Let me make it clear again. The ksos, through the Beis Yosef, even more than the Beis Yosef, is taking a very extreme view of the Rambam's Hefker Keneder. Right? He's saying the Hefker Keneder means that in Choshev Mishpat, nothing has happened. Right? It's all based on an implicit neder. And if that's the case, then what about Yerusha? But what about other dinim also, which depend on titular ownership, not the ability to be chozer. Maybe you can't be chozer, but it's still not yotzer mirshuska. Right. Now again, I still think the siluk, even if you held that way in the Rambam, I don't think you have to hold that way in the Rambam, etc. Okay, fine. So what does he come up with? Bezen nirla, he has to go ahead. Very, this is a breakthrough. Is that maybe the right one?
No.
Wait, 1 second. Oh no, I'm sorry. Not the other side. The F Shalom, yeah, sorry. Oh. So what's he saying, and why did I say that it should ring familiar? Somewhat. It does sound like Rabbi Yochanan for sure, but even more so, it's kind of what I was trying to suggest in the Meiri. I was suggesting in the Meiri that even if there's no formal change of ownership and there's no formal loss of title, right, there's something called Hefker Kemidras Afar, which is like Yeyush, where you know you kind of lose your one aspect of your bailus, even though perhaps you retain another. Correct? And I was calling that, and I was suggesting that there are a number of examples of this, pragmatic, you know, bailus or operational bailus, as opposed to titular or formal bailus. Right? I was saying, what about Isuri Ana? What about Yeyush? What about the impact that Rabbi Yochanan Zelafishen Shalom has on, I'm sorry, Zelafishen Bershusov has. That's your owner, but it's not Bershuscha, right? Gezo Balon Siosho Vayim Zevzer Enim Yukalim Lakdisho. So there are a bunch of cases like this. And I think I mentioned that the Ksos generally likes this compromise of saying about some of these cases that they are Shalom, but they're not Bershusov. So here the Ksos is saying, and this is so pragmatic, given his view, what's he saying? The neder dictates that lemaisa, you can't be chozer. Even though alpidin, formally, in some abstract way in Choshev Mishpat, you remain the owner. So you might have thought, well, that's just a technicality, and anything that has to do with bailus is not affected by Hefker if you take this extreme view. Says the Ksos, no, Because in the end of the day, if your hands are tied and you can't exercise ownership, then it's the equivalent of being Eina Bershuska, even if it is Bibaluska. So the imposition, the artificial suppression of your bailus rights is connected to what? Hilchos Nedarim. But sof, l'maisa, you can't do anything with this object. Unless you're Zokam Nafka, that's a different story. Either as a third party, or if there's still some yichos, I suspect the Ksos would think it had to be as a third party, at least this piece, given the thrust. But okay. So that's a very important, that principle is very important. Right? Again, it's a consistent Ksos view. It's part of that phenomena. But it also works very beautifully into, although it's an extreme example, of what we were suggesting might be enough for Chabad. Okay. So then it's also, then the next idea is his discussion of what? Zach? Of what? Yeah. But what's the issue? I want to just get through it. I don't want to spend more time. Yeah. When you are mafkir something, that's a very fascinating question also. Is that considered the equivalent of das acheres makne? Meaning, for certain dinim in Bamitziya and so on, Obasra, right? Having a das acheres makne, I mean the fact that somebody, you know, was the previous owner, and it, you know, kind of, there was a transition in the ownership, sometimes that's important. So you're Zochem in a Hefker. Right? Is that considered Das Acheres Makne? Right? Or no? In a way, this is equivalent to the issue they were talking about before. Let's say, you know, Hefker is, you know, only Siluk. That's one way. Or Hefker is Hakna Mershus Atzma. You know, or Hafka Mershus Atzma Lagan. Hakna Mershus Atzma. But is it also Das Acheres Makne? Is it Hakna Mershus Chaveira? Either because, you know, the world is Rishus Hefker, and Rishus Hefker requires this object, and then the next person to pick it up requires, that's a separate, he's Kona Mershus Hefker. Or is it even possible that the chiddush here is that it's a kind of a, whether it's breira or not breira, whether it needs breira, that, you know, you look at this in retrospect. I was makna, he's the guy who picked it up. So, igloi milsa, that it was a hakna from me to him. Right? It could be better than breira, it could be worse than breira. I can make the case either way. Either way, this is an interesting question. We typically don't structurally, of hefker as Das Acheres Makne. But the Ksos kind of, you know, Lashitaso basically, you know, turns it, you know, 180 degrees. Well, I would say, oh, how could Hefker be Das Acheres Makne? Because of what I just said. Because, you know, if even the person who picks it up, you know, so it's considered like one long process. Better than Breira, worse than Breira, Midin Breira, whatever. That's not Ksos' analysis. Zach, what's his analysis? Yeah, the opposite. If you hold this extreme understanding of the Rambam, which is that Hefker is nothing except the Neder, and even if you hold that the Neder ends up pragmatically suppressing some aspects of Rebailus, which affects even Dinam Doraisa, right, but at the end of the day, right, you're still the bailin, the formal bailin, and there's not even siluk. That's my biggest objection within already this understanding of the Rambam. Still can be siluk. So then what happens is that the person who ends up picking up the chayfetz, you can really understand Rav Yossi HaGalili, the person who ends up picking up the chayfetz is zoche from the bailin. That's Das Acheres Makne. Correct? I don't think I have to say it that way. Then at the bottom, he says, oh, you know what? I think all this is relevant to Rashi. Yeah, go ahead.
Would there be any way to justify if like a Rishos Hefker as like a real thing, can that be considered a Das HaFaris Lachna?
I think if you really hold there's something called a Rishos Hefker, which some Achronim think is a viable view, I think it would be hard to consider that Das HaFaris Lachna from the original owner to the, you know, to the person who ultimately picks it up from Hefker. It might be Das HaFaris Lachna to Hefker, but it would be hard to say, you know, that the, you know, the guy who picks it up in the end, that the Zoche is directly receiving it from the previous owner. Because you'd have that intervening, you know, entity. So I think that would not work so well. Okay? Good. Then he says, the F Shalomar, go ahead, Nehaina Taima, that that's the Pshat in Rashi. Why does Rashi think you have it there, Zach? Why doesn't Rashi embrace Tosis' idea? It's so interesting. You know, that Bittel is Hefke. Remember that, you know, that's a post-Rashi view. You know, the Pashtus, you know, when you think of Bittel, I mean, if you know Bali Tosis, once you know Bali Tosis, it's more of a question. But why did Rashi hold that way? You know, it's a certain mentality, and a good one. But the Pashtus, like everything Ramban says, you know, we don't usually call it that, it defies all the rules. There's so many reasons not. It's not really a Kiyam in Tashbisu. You know, the prominence of Bittul in the Gemaras would seem to say that it's a Kiyam. You know, that it's a Chametz Din, not just a pragmatic result. You know, but once Tosis is out there, and especially once you have, I'm not saying this about the Ksilis, you know, all the justifications of Tosis, even after the attack of Ramban, the Ran, the Meiri, Maram Chalava, you know. So now it becomes like, well, why did Rashi go for that? Okay. Why did he think it was that? Yeah. Go ahead. So this is so fascinating because he turned everything on its head. Right? What do I mean? He says like this. If you hold that the Rashi held like the Rambam, right, so basically you're still the Bialim, so Hefker's not going to help you. Not because of Dine Bal Yerah. Right? Because any time that you need Bialus, Hefker's not going to help you. He says, I'm the one who said that the pragmatic consequence of the Neder ends up having a legal status of Eder Bershuso. Right? He says, that's great in Kol HaTorah Kula, where you need Bailus and Rishos. But in Chametz, we're Machmir. That's what Rabbi Shmuel told us. Shnei Dvar Meinu Bershuso Shaladam. Basana Kosov Kila Bershuso. So you should be more Machmir. We are more Machmir, and we should be more Machmir. Even my big breakthrough, says the Ksos, not going to help you in Chametz. That, of course, is 100% opposite of, right, the Meiri's end, but especially the Ran's approach. Correct? But totally understandable. Okay, good. Then at the end of the piece, he says two interesting other things. Number one, he just says, you know, we're basing so much on this Rambam. What's the makar? The people who provide the makar, it's not a compelling makar. Like, How did the Rambam get so prominent and all the poskim quoted and are worried about it and many of them adopt it? And you know, where does it come from? That's what part of the discussion. And then the final part, which I still have to get back to, is the discussion about shlichos. So there's a debate among the Rishonim, is there shlichos lebitl? We should talk about that before we end. Right? The Bala Itur says there's shlichos lebitl. And the Ran, here in Pesachim, says there's no shlichos lebitl. So we have to talk about that. Obviously, it depends a lot on what bitl is. Right? Whether it's hefker, whether it's enerot to bikiyumo, you know, and how you understand each of those categories here itself. It's like this adavership of gufo. Does it require the personal touch? Is it dafka the opposite? Maybe you don't even need shlichus. Maybe somebody could be mevatel for you, even if they're not a bar shliach. I mean, there could be three, you know, perspectives here. Even regular shlichus doesn't work. That seems to be the view of the Rambam. Or you don't need shlichus even. We'll explain that. Right? And therefore even a katan or a cheresh or a goy or somebody else could, you know, could do bittul on your behalf, would say. As long as they're expressing your will. Or the middle view. Shukhashanam kaboso to bittul. Okay. But he himself says, if you hold that it's neder, Hinei Ra'isli Beis Yosef Archaim quotes the Ran, says the Ran, Shluch Eini Yochel Levatam, Kibbe the Bintel Mitoras Hefker, Shliach Lamotzi Levatam. Sorry, Im Amar Adam Lechaberum, Hefker Ata Nichsa Eim Bekach Klum, that's a question. Kosov of Beis Yosef, the Tamid, the Hefker, Leis Ha'idei Shliach, Hadim Shim the Hefker Mitoras Neder. That's the Beis Yosef. And he goes on again, like, well, was this? Maybe this is a clue, you know, to where this thing comes from. Okay, we'll stop here with that. Oh, I don't want to... All right, so let me say something again. I'm sorry we didn't finish, but we're getting closer. So that's mostly what I want to say about Hefker. Again, as I said, the question of shame, Hefker, and Siluk, and different levels of Hefker. But let me say something about Maram Kalava. Mostly Maram Kalava we were explaining that because this particular Hefker doesn't have to take into account, right, the hakna or the schia to enable schia lacherim or to prevent, you know, chazara me'atzmo, you know, that therefore the standards of hefker here are sufficient. But again, unlike the Meiri, it's not like they're even an 80% hefker. They're 100% hefker, you know, given the target or the circumstances of this particular hefker. That's Maram Kalava. One could have said in the Maram Kalava, you know, a little bit differently, it could have been read like kind of like I'm reading the Meiri, which is, you see from the Maram Kalava, right, that there are different levels, you know, within hefker. Okay, but that's not what he said. But that's something to think about. You know, a hefker, you know, an 80% hefker is good enough, you know, when you don't have to enable or preclude, you know, personal chazara or enable other people's schia. That's not what he says. Okay. Either way. Good. So now what I want to do is I want to go back to the Rabbi Shmuel poem. Yeah, this is the breakthrough of the Rabbi. As far as I'm aware, the Ramban is the first person to invoke the din of Rabbi Yishmael, you know, to explain bittul. I could be wrong about that, but I'm not, if I am, I'm just not aware of it. And this got picked up in slightly different ways by the Ran and by the Meiri, and then of course after others as well. We just saw how the Ksos, you know, takes the opposite view. But I think, number one, it's a tremendous breakthrough. Because typically, the din of Rabbi Shmuel is a chumrah. We still have to analyze it more. I'm holding off on that. We did a little bit earlier. You know, what are the implications of it? You know, what would happen if you had chametz and another iser hamitzah together? You know, and what about, a little bit the Ramban discusses, what about being Kona Chametz Pesach? And Rabbeinu David actually has a very interesting line. I'll have to keep this when we finish up on the Kiss on Sunday. Where he basically says, you know, once you apply the Din of Rabbi Shmuel, you know, so why is it so obvious that there's no bittul after Chatzos? And the Gemara says it's davar pashut, you can't do bittul after Chatzos in the Gluska Yafa Sugya that we've already seen. So the Ramban says, the Rabbeinu David says, you know, but once, you know, and again they quote Rabbi Shmuel for that. But once you acknowledge, it depends how you understand Rabbi Shmuel, basically. Like, what are you really saying about Rabbi Shmuel? Shnei dvarim inu b'shusam shaladim asana kasu kil b'shusam. Does asana kasu kil b'shusam mean that it isn't in your rishus, but, or does it mean legabe davar zeh, it's nichnas b'shuscha? Those are two very different perspectives. So there's a lot to figure out still in Rabbi Shmuel. But the bigger point I want to make is that what the Ramban did here, Ramban's breakthrough, is to invoke Rabbi Shmuel, which the Gemara has as a chumrah. Right? The Gemara says you can't do bittul because it's aser b'hanon after chatzos. And the Gemara basically says, however, that's the time when you're going to violate, or because of that, you know, we don't, you still violate by Yiroa because of Sana Kasa Kinim Rishus. So, the idea of the Ramban to use that, you know, beyond just the narrow, like how do you have Ba Yiroa and Yisrana, they're incompatible, but to use that to highlight in a broader way both the Chumrah and the Kula, let's say, of Chametz, is a huge breakthrough. Having said that, and that huge breakthrough, as I say, is picked up by the Ram, picked up by Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David, I think, is the truest to what the Ramban really had in mind. I'll explain. Not now, when we finish on Sunday. But the Ram certainly picked it up. And as I say, the Miri did. The Miri picked it up and made it into a, you know, an Onesh Doraisa, which I think is interesting. And that, of course, highlights again how fundamentally, you know, it's really Iser Hana Gemura and really Eino Bershuska. And it's Afal Pikeh. Okay. For the Ramban, even though it ends up being a basis to explain why Bittul will work, and that is a bit of a Kula, because Bittul otherwise you would think shouldn't work, In the aggregate for the Ramban, it's totally a chumrah. Meaning, you wouldn't have this problem to begin with that you need bittul, if not for Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is the chumrah basis that you are trying to, you know, contend with, and therefore that's a kula. It's consistent with that chumrah, right? That you can also do bittul in this fashion. Let me say it this way. Since I don't have time to read it, I'll read this in when we finish off on Sunday. But the key words in the Ramban are what? What are the key words in the Ramban? Josh. If you have to pick out, like, the Ramban's doctrine here, what are the keywords? I mean, it's based on the application of Rishmah. That's a huge chiddush, for sure. But I'm just trying to make a point which I think is very subtle. Again, I'm not trying to burden you with subtleties. I just think these subtleties are important. And they also exemplify a certain process. What would you say, Josh?
When he says, the Hotzi Mitoras
Hamid? That's pretty important. What does he mean by that, 100%? But even if I thought, like, the catchphrase, no. It sounds like your hand was up, right? Not so much. I think for the Ram, that's the key. What is the, in terms of the Mechayev, to begin, the Iser? Rotsa b'kiyuma. Who said that? Zach. Rotsa b'kiyuma is the key for the Rambam. Not for the Ram. Does the Ram ever say he rotsa b'kiyuma? He says the schema daikon l'das Torah. But rotsa b'kiyuma is the watchword for the Rambam. For the Ramban, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yishmael is that you have to be, and I'll say it more than that, for the Ramban, you shouldn't be Rotsa B'Kiyumo, or you have to be Eina Rotsa B'Kiyumo. Again, this is not like a Telzer Chakira here, it's like, but what's the impression? Well, that's like each time he says it. Yoni, what do you think? That you have to be Eino Rotsa B'Kiyuma. Not Eino Rotsa B'Kiyuma. You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So I agree too. I'm going to read this in on Sunday because we have to stop now. But for the Ramban, the din of Rabbi Yishmael signifies, right, that it's not enough not to be the Bailin of the Chametz. You have to proactively, right, renounce your interest. It has to be Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo. Lo Nichale. Not Eino, you know, Rotsa B'Kiyumo. Or Lo, you know, Nichale B'Hai. Everybody understand me? Very subtle point. And this is what he means also. You have to look at this. That's what he means when he talks about Torahs, which I do agree is an important part. Right? You have to take away the Torah's chametz and make it a Torah's offer. But the offer part for the Ramban is nothing. Maybe if he didn't use the offer, maybe Meiri wouldn't even. But for Meiri, it's a hefker thing. You know, this is hefker, you're treating it like offer. For the Ramban, it's. You're not looking at the chametz, it's like Torah's offer, meaning it's something that disgusts him, or you know, that you know. He looks at it and he sees toxicity. And he records. He's Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo. And therefore, there's no ambivalence in the Ramban that, you know, Rabbi Yishmael is a Kula and a Chumra. It's a Chumra, but then it's maybe Ligay Kula. I wouldn't say it that way in the Ramban. I would say it's Kulo, a Chumra, but in light of what that Chumra is, right, there's a solution. The Mechayev is that he needs to be Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo. Of course, if he is Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo, then that's what Bittul is. To me, the Ran, who doesn't say the words Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo, and who instead emphasizes his schemo daito, or lo schemo daito, how does it go? The line you had before. Let's read that line again. The Ran took the Ramban. What the Ramban is trying to do is Rabbi Yishmael is the basis for Bittul. And what is Bittul? Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo. Right? Whereas for the Ran, very, very subtly, again, the Eino Rotsa B'Kiyumo isn't there. The Rabbi Yishmael is both a Chumra. But it's a chumra that's hanging by a thread. It's a chumra which is, you know, kind of definitionally problematic. That's a line. There's somebody wrote for Mao inyan bittel ze. I'm sorry. Elhainu taima. The nei demai dehava b'shusa de inish lo matzim avkir. Chametz shiny l'fi shena b'shusa shodam asa kasuk il b'shusa mishum hachi. Bigiluye daita bi alma, v'lonichalei v'lahava zocha begadei. For the Ramban, it's not nichalei v'lahava zoch, because the Ramban had nothing to do with hefker. For the Ran, it's lonichalei v'lahava zocha begadei. Klal, and it's not a lo nichalei v'zocha begadei. It's lo nichalei v'zocha, meaning there's no nichalei v'zocha begadei here. Not tempted. That's all he needs to do. Sagi. Right? Umahani. That's why there's no rotsa b'kiyuma or inner rotsa b'kiyuma. Compare that to the language of the Ramban. One second. Well, this we will end, I promise. This is the language of the Ramban. Elakach ani omer. Shabito moyo lehotzio mitoras chametz. You're not doing that for the Ram. Then for the Ram, this is a rehabilitation of Hefker. And it's the interest in Hefker is the equivalent of a non-interest in Tzchiya. And non-interest in Tzchiya is the hanging by a thread, right, that the Torah adds as a chumrah. And therefore you can neutralize that in a very easy way. That's the Ram. That's why it's within Hefker. Right? It's based on the Ramban. But that's not the Ramban. The Ramban for the Ramban bitul's motzio mitoras chametz. Not because it has nothing to do with the Hefker issue. That's just off the table. That's rejected completely. This has to do with your attitude towards the Chafetz. Now for the Meiri, its attitude towards the Chafetz, but ends up being a factor in Bailus and Hefker. For the Ramban, it's not. It's attitude towards the Chafetza per se. Ulachshibo ka'afar. She'inaroi lachila. But it's not that Alpi did its ka'afar. Ulachshibo ka'afar is part of lotzio mitoras chametz. That's the main thing. Not the fact that it's afar. Like, you never get in the Ramban what you get in the Sefer Michta. Which is, it's ka'afar, maybe you can eat it? Okay, he doesn't think halakha that you can. But you wouldn't even get the question. The afar is just a way of saying it's toxic. It's motzio mitarzim. The hetu zemi divra Rabbi Shmuel, this is the kiddush, this is the breakthrough. I think it's the Ramban's. Shedir on the shuzar, so matzal kasekilu, she said, loba. Kim shaloik pita Torah ela shaloi echamach shalo bir shuso. The Isra Anayina Mamo, by the way, we'll have to go back on this when we talk about that question, because the formulations here are very interesting. Isra Anayina Mamon, Lo Karina Be Lacha, it's not Chafta Shamamon, it's not Bailus. Bidinu Shalo Yavar Alam Vukum. Ela Shatora Sasa Iluhu Bershuso, Lavar Al Bishne Lavin. Mipnei Shadaito Alav. That's default. Not in case. But Mipnei Shadaito. Who wrote Sabikiyumo? That's from the key lines in the Rambam. Lufikach Zesh Eskima Daito Daso, he says for him. V'yotza Levatlo Shelo Yehebo Din Mamo. That's when I agree that the original Ikur Dina should be okay. He's Maskim Das Torah in the sense that the Torah wants more from you. It wants an emphatic rejection. It wants motzi mitoras chametz. So therefore, he has to yotze levaklo shelo yehebo din mamon. Ela she motzi mershusa legamri. That's so far from lo nichale lezakos po. Okay, not just because he's working with the chafetza and he's working with rehabilitating him. But of course it's related. Because the Ran, you know, requires less from Rabbi Shmuel, that's why maybe he's happy to rehabilitate his Hefker. But for Ramban, it's so much more than that. He motza v'shusa l'gadri, shuvein odai, lo krimin l'chal, kibin shuasa, once again, the Eino rotza v'kiyumo. Not Eino rotza v'kiyumo. Okay? Below me, boy, l'rabban, this is fascinating. Lo mi boi la rabbanan ela filo le divra Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Who's Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Who's Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold? No. Correct. That chametz is mutter b'hana. Meaning, if chametz is mutter b'hana, for the Ram, would the Ram say even Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Right? Not if it's kinyanim, and it's about bailus, and it's schema to das tor de lo nichale lazakos bo. But for Ramban, Once there's a chalos of bittel, of eino rotza b'kiyumo, right? That can be even when there is violence. Kivin shenis yoish mimenu, mipnei isuro yotzam reshusov, ein bo din gezel, when it comes to chametz. If it's eino rotza b'kiyumo, even according to Rabbi Yose, there's a big chiddush. He's this yoish mimenu, there's no din gezel? Amazing. Now, Josh made the ha'ara to me the other day, which was on my list, which is that it's curious that the Me'iri, you know, picks up on the Yiyush example. I also think that this is another example where, in responding and you know, justifying Balei Tosfos, the Me'iri is influenced by the Ramban's playbook, by his language. He's using some of the Ramban's own lashonos and, you know, breakthroughs, but he's adapting it. Kaki darka shel Torah. Kidamina bizman shein ba'al makar alayim mitar mishum gezel p'tum. That's a good one. Hava kehefker. But the Ramban doesn't mean here that therefore it works if he did hefker, etc. He's just using the parallel. The hache adif mi hefker. The lahadar iu zachibe. Again, that's also part of the Me'iri, Maram Chalava. But for the Ramban, this has nothing. The adif mi hefker isn't the din in hefker, right? It's his din in, you know, toxicifying the chayfes. The shavya ka'afar, the lo nichale the gavay. Now that, for the Ramban, is going to be a kiyum in Tashmisu. Of course. Alongside a bia. Okay. Sorry we took so long. Let's stop here. I want to speak a little bit about Rabbeinu David next time. But this is what I mean by the difference between the Ramban and the Ran. The Ran, like the Me'iri, could not have said what they said if Ramban hadn't come up with this. Because it's a huge kiddush to use Rabbi Shmuel for this. It's also very, very compelling once you say it. But how you use it, you know, both the tone and what you're using it for, and whether it's going to apply even from Yossi Aglili, and so on, all this just becomes, once you know all the other players and all the other formulations, it becomes just very interconnected in an interesting way. Okay, we still have to talk very briefly. I want to talk about Rabbeinu David, just take a few minutes. And then I want to get back to Kodem and the Achar of Zmani Suro, and a few other very quick points in the Ramban, and then we're going to start Mirat Hashem with the Shagim Tari Dalad and Abedis. That's the plan for Sunday.
Yeah.
With regard to
what we're